Blog Talk Radio.
My May 21st radio broadcast revealed that I was recently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, something shocking and very sobering to me. I immediately changed my food regimen, started exercising regularly, and have lost 20 pounds in the course of the past 6 weeks. Today, I want to focus on how I plan on consistently eating healthy foods, not for a season, but for the rest of my life. Some foods have been banned from my list, and some have been modified. It's all a matter of choices I make to bring forth a new healthy approach to living a full, rich life for the next 20 to 40 years. Listen to today's show, and I'll walk you through the regimen that you can live with by making smart choices about food, nutrition, and tasty eats and treats along the way. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. I hope that you are having a great week or weekend if you're listening live in the chat room or if you have downloaded this show after the fact. I just hope that you're having a great time and this will be some very beneficial information for you based on the experience that I'm now going through. In 2 weeks, we won't have a show next week on the 11th, but we will have our next show in 2 weeks on June 18th, that's our next show, and we'll talk more about Student Safety Month, a month that I started some 18 years ago with the passing of my son, McCarl Thomas Jr., and I'll give you some insights about what I've learned over the past 18 years, why this is so important, and how it can really benefit and help you. And I say that certainly on the heels of the funeral of Joe Biden's son, his second child that he's buried, 46-year-old Attorney General Beau Biden, who unfortunately died of brain cancer and is going to be funeralized this weekend. Very tragic and very sad for the family, and certainly from the perspective of losing a second child. He died from health reasons. My son died of a car accident. So we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks and why sort of honoring our young people and doing it in the spirit of helping to protect them and helping them to make good choices will be beneficial. In the meantime, you can go to my website, tellcarol.com. That's TellCarole.com. And you can download the Student Safety Month kit that can be used any time of the year. It has some very important and helpful information, some action steps that you can follow, whether it's in June or whether it's in November. So you can go to tellcarol.com, go right to the home page, and click on the banner that says June is Student Safety Month, and you'll have fun looking at pictures and certainly looking at a document that you can, an 11-page document that you can download and share with others, as we really explore ways to keep our young people safe and healthy so that they can get as old as we are. That's the whole point. But we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks. Also, some of the information that I'm getting today is from a number of different sources. One of my new websites that I'm looking at more and more is the American Diabetes Association. The American Diabetes Association is one of the largest organizations in the United States, and they publish a number of articles, a lot of other information that's very beneficial, and their website is diabetes.org. Diabetes.org. There is a really tasty sweet potato burrito bowl recipe that's at my website. This radio program can be rebroadcast at my website, tellcarol.com, today's blog, and at the end of the blog, you can link to the American Diabetes Association website for this specific recipe called Sweet Potato Burrito Bowl. I'm just sort of salivating at the mouth just looking at the picture, and you'll have a chance to look at the picture, and you can find out more about that by going to the website and having fun with that. I'm going to sort of break this up into five different methods or steps that are working for me. Now, again, full disclaimer, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietetic expert, a diabetes expert. I am someone who now has type 2 diabetes. And my May 21st show, I would encourage you to go and listen to that show. It'll just walk you through how this all happened with me. So it's something that I feel is important to share with the audience so that you will benefit from what I've experienced. Had I stayed on a path, Weight Watchers path that goes back 12 years now, where I lost 30 pounds, had I really continued with that, then I probably wouldn't have diabetes at this point. But I fell off the wagon and just continued to eat any kind of food that I want with no discretion. And so now, voila, I have this disease that many, many, many people have across the world, not just here in the United States, but certainly across the world. The downside of it is if it runs in your family, which it does in my family, it runs in many families, particularly African-American families, then you have to pay particular notice to it. Or if you don't have diabetes and you want to make sure that you don't get diabetes, you want to do it in a way, you want to change and modify your food habits, your exercise habits, so that it does not become a problem in later life. The problem with diabetes is just the complications. My mother lost a leg because of diabetes. My grandfather took insulin shots for much of his late adult life. So I know those things that happen. I'm trying to prevent that from happening to me, so that I don't have to go on medication. I'm not on medication now. I'll go to the doctor late in the summer, and we'll figure out, you know, whether I need to go on. Hopefully I won't have to, because I don't take any medication right now, and all of my other health issues are fine. I have no other health issues. All my other test results came out fine. No breast cancer, no other cancer, et cetera. So I'm trying to maintain a healthy life so that I can bug my grandkids when I get really old. I want to be a part of their life when I get really, really old, and I get inspirations from... There's a woman in the South, she's like 106 or 8 years old. Her picture was on Facebook. One of my Facebook friends shared that with me. Beautiful outfit that she had on. They had a great big birthday party for her at her church, and the news media was there, and she sounded very coherent and looks like she has lived a very rich life. That's sort of the role model that I want to emulate as I change things in my life so that I can move forward. Also, from a work perspective, I'm not going to retire anytime soon. So in order for me to stay fit, fiddle, work and engage with clients, I have a corporate event that I'm going to this evening, I have to maintain my health. I have to do it in a way that is going to make me a very user-friendly, very coherent person in the days ahead. So that's really the whole motivation behind all of this. So five, not really steps, but five ways I'm looking at food management. Number one is that I do count calories. This time, I didn't count calories with Weight Watchers. That's a different kind of program. But this time, I'm counting calories, and I'm doing this all on my own. So this is a management program that I'm developing on my own, not going to any kind of weight loss clinic or going to any kind of special foods, trying to do it so that, again, it's a sustainable part of who I am for the rest of my life. A lot of things about diets, special programs, things that cost you money, it's an investment, and it's something you have to look at, whether you can sustain it on the long run or whether you can do things otherwise. No disrespect for Weight Watchers. It's a great program. There are other great programs out there, but this is something I'm just sort of developing and managing personally and individually, and one that I want to share with others. So what I'm doing currently is I am using calorycount.com. You can find out more about that with the May 21st show. I talked more about it there. But that particular free app, it's a free program, it's on my laptop and it's on my phone, my iPhone, is that I log in everything I eat every day. Now, that seems like I can't do that. I don't have time for that. Well, yes, you can make time for it. I'm very busy. I have a life. I do lots of things. But I know those kind of disciplines are the reasons why I lost weight 12 years ago and why I'm going to be, why I'll continue to lose weight now, 20 pounds in the last 6 weeks. And again, my goal is to lose 50 pounds. So everything I eat, right down to a cough drop, right down to a sliver of food, is logged on CalorieCount.com. The reason why is that it not only intakes all this food that I'm eating, but it calculates what the calories are and the nutritional value. That's the important thing. One thing with my test result was it showed the various nutritional activities going on with the blood that they took and the blood samples. And so you have a sense of what's going on with your sugar intake, with your potassium intake, with your calcium intake. All of that is documented in this food app called CalorieCount.com, and others do. I'm using this one. You may have one that works as well. So the good, bad, and the ugly. So in the course of a day, I'm on a 1,200-calorie regimen. I'm not saying it's a diet. It's a 1,200-calorie regimen with some leeway, not too low, because then you don't get enough nutritional value. So, yeah, you can say, okay, I'll do 800 calories a day, and that'll really take the weight off. Well, that's okay, but you may not get enough nutritional value each day in order to sustain your body. That's why diets are often not a great way to maintain your weight going in the long run. But 1,200 calories, along with the allocation of grams for sodium, potassium, etc., are all built into this app, this application with CalorieCount.com. So I put all that in, and on average over the last 30 days and probably now over the last 60 days or so, I'm averaging 1,250 maybe calories, and it's just based all on the food that's being put in there. And I have a very good idea of how I'm managing my vitamin A regimen, my saturated fats, my potassium level, my carbohydrates, all of that. Some days they're too high, some days they're good, some days they're too low. But the most important thing is the average, which you're able to do on this program to let me know how my food intake is building my body in a way that I'll be able to sustain over time. I am probably going to have to take potassium tablets or calcium tablets, because that's now there's a pattern of it being low in the food that I am taking in. And I'll tell you about the kind of food I'm eating in just a few minutes. So all of that is to say that if you start logging your food, just give it 3 weeks. Just, it may be a pain at the beginning, but just give it 3 weeks, and you'll be surprised how it'll become a habit. Now, many of you know who have listened to my shows, I've been journaling for 17, 18 years, and that is a regular habit of mine. I do one or two other things on a regular basis. So I have the capacity to make an activity like this a complete discipline that's part of my life. I do it, and I realize when I don't do it, it bothers me, because I know that's part of the day that I've set up for myself. So doing the food log is, I think, critical. You have to understand what food you're taking in and how that food is working for you or not working for you based on the nutritional spread that, again, this CalorieCount.com is providing for me. So that's number one. That's the first way of looking at it. Number two is I now think of food differently. Number one, I do think of food. I believe you can't not think of food. You have to think of it in a way that is productive and progressive for your body. So I am excited because I'm making this a game. I realize there are so many foods out there, some that I'm trying for the first time. One of them is quinoa, Q-U-I-N-O-A, quinoa. It comes from Bolivia. It's a grain. It's very healthy. It's like the rice products, but it's better for you. It comes in red, Inca, and they may have one or two other colors, but this is a food that has been introduced to me recently. I may have eaten it in the past, but now I'm intentionally eating it. Typically about a quarter of a cup or so, and you mix it in with vegetables and those other items, and it's quite tasty, can be quite tasty and quite nutritious for you. There are nutritional values. So for me, quinoa, I had to learn how to pronounce it. Quinoa is a food that was recently introduced to me. I've been doing cultural competency workshops for a health professional organization, for healthcare professionals in Southeast Massachusetts for the past year. And I work out of a train. One of my groups meets at a healthcare facility called Personal Touch, and they provide home health assistance for people in that area. The administrator, Jean Penna, I want to thank her publicly because she introduced me to quinoa. She cooks for us each time my class meets every week, and very delicious food, and she's the one who turned me on to quinoa. So that's one tip for you in terms of finding foods, thinking about foods that are beneficial, have nutritional values, and can be very healthy for you. I also have really turned to hard-boiled eggs. I keep them in my refrigerator. Typically, that's about 70 or 80 calories, not a lot of calories, but lots of protein in it. There is cholesterol, obviously, but that's a food that I eat. And I've really switched to sweet potatoes, high in potassium. Calorie count isn't that bad, and this is what I do. I just did this week. I bought two sweet potatoes, and I cut one in half. I actually cooked it, baked it, microwaved it, and cut it in half and ate one with one meal. But today I took the other one and I cut it in half, so I ate a quarter of a sweet potato and took a quarter of an avocado. That's the next food that is also very good for you nutritionally when you are looking for good foods when you have diabetes. So I took that quarter of a sweet potato and had the quarter of the avocado, sliced it up, and that became a nutritional snack for me. I was hungry midday. I was preparing for this show and doing some other things, and so that was quite nutritionally valuable to me and for me. This morning, what did I have for breakfast? I'm talking about thinking food. I had Special K honey and oats flakes. I used to look at all that Special K stuff and laugh. Well, I'm laughing now because I'm eating it. And I use light cream because I still like light cream. I had that, just poured a little bit in the bowl. The Special K flakes are like 100 calories, and I have to also account for the light cream that I used. I had my instant coffee. I used instant coffee and, again, light cream in my instant coffee, no sugar. I have not used sugar in coffee in many years. Actually, when my mother, God rest her soul, was diagnosed and had health challenges years ago, that's when I switched off and stopped using sugar in my coffee. So I don't have sugar in coffee, but I do use light cream. So that was my breakfast. The coffee, the bran flakes, the Special K bran flakes, and just a little scoop, a handful. It's less than a quarter of a cup of blueberries. I'm really turned on to blueberries now, and I had that on top, and that I enjoy it now. So it's an acquired taste, but it certainly is definitely working for me. Other foods that I like and I eat quite a bit, broccoli. You can steam broccoli. It's quite good. It can be like 40 calories a serving. So I do eat quite a bit of broccoli with my meals. And then a lot of fruit. So I do eat a lot of oranges. I like Fuji apples because they're sweet and sort of have a little bit of tartness to them. It is now cherry season, so I do eat cherries. I love that. So I'm a fruit connoisseur, so that's never going to be a problem. I just don't want to overdo it. Now, if you go to the website, you will see a plate that has been established by the American Diabetes Association. You'll see a picture of it. And that picture shows the correct proportion of food when you are eating. I've sort of been talking ad hoc about what you eat. But typically for a meal, most of your serving, at least two-fourths of your serving, half that plate, should be devoted to vegetables and fruits. So fruits and vegetables should make up a good portion of your meal, followed by a quarter of that plate with protein. It could be meat, could be some other substitute if you're a vegetarian. And again, your proportions are important. And then the last part deals with your starch. So that starch could be the quinoa that I had mentioned earlier. It could be brown rice. It could be the sweet potato. So those kind of proportions, again, when I'm thinking food, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the proportions, and I'm thinking about how that can be laid out on a plate. So you can see that plate on today's blog at the website. Number three is how to prepare and the importance of preparing to eat out. When you've been diagnosed, as I have, with type 2 diabetes, I can't stay in the house all the time. I have a business to run, and I have places to go and things to do. I just mentioned to you I teach this cultural competency class. They serve lunch. It's a four-hour class, and so Jean Pinna over at Personal Touch graciously cooks for us, and she cooks pretty healthy food. There's always a salad. So you learn how to prepare. I have 1,200 calories to consume every day. So I have to be mindful of how I consume those calories. So today I had the breakfast items, the cereal and coffee, then a little light snack, the avocado, a quarter of an avocado and a quarter of a sweet potato. I may have a light salad after this show. And then I have an engagement this evening with one of my corporate clients, and it involves food. There's probably going to be a fair amount of food there. So I've deliberately tried to moderate what I eat during the day to accommodate how I'm going to eat while I'm out. Again, I eat out. That's just a part of who I am. I've learned how to eat at a lot of fast food restaurants, not the real fast food restaurants, but restaurants, the chain restaurants that we know about. And what I'll do frequently now, I'll go ahead online because the information is there, and I'll determine what's on their menu and what's the calorie count and what's the sodium count, because a lot of food that's prepared in commercial restaurants has a very high sodium content. So I want to watch that. So some of the foods that I may have eaten earlier, I may not eat in deference to a food that has a lower sodium count. So that's keeping in mind. So tonight, knowing what I've eaten, I'll be able to eat healthy. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of very healthy cultural food that will be there. Because I've sort of loaded, I've gone the low road earlier today, the healthy road, to accommodate for the food that I'm going to eat this evening. Now, even yesterday I had to go to another event, Milton High School Boosters. My son graduated from Milton High School and my daughters also, and so there is always a tribute that takes place during this Boosters banquet every year in memory of my son. So I went there, and I ate a fair amount of salad. I ate a little bit of pasta, and I took a cookie, and I cut it in half. So I didn't eat the whole cookie. I ate half the cookie, and I shared it with the neighbor that was sitting next to me. So, again, there are games you can play. You prepare in terms of eating out. Those are the important essence. And then number four is to use new recipes and make it fun. I'm going to even try out this recipe that's at my website, the Sweet Potato Burrito Bowl, and you can go and get it at tellcarol.com under the blog section, tellcarol with an E. So, again, trying out recipes. I picked up a Diabetic Living magazine from Better Homes and Gardens, and I'm looking at a delicious recipe called Speedy Paella, which has shrimp and scallops in it, and it is 206 calories. There's some rice in there, and I bet you most of the calorie count deals with the rice, not with the seafood that doesn't take up a lot of calories. But I'm going to try this recipe. It looks delicious. It looks like it's quick, and it's going to be healthy. So it's thinking food differently. It's trying recipes and definitely making it fun. If it's not fun, I really don't want to be a part of it. And then number five is the whole piece about sweets. That was my downfall. And the importance of cutting way back on that. And, again, some foods I'm cutting out. The French fries that I used to pack on, they have to go. Some of the other foods that I used to eat, I used to love. Lay's potato chips, they have to go. And I now have the mental discipline to look at a lot of food. I went to an event recently where they had a whole buffet full of beautiful desserts, and I ate none of it. I went to the fruit bowl and ate that. So you have to sort of pick and choose. So number one, in terms of the sweet factor, is that I picked up a package of Special K brownies. It's some kind of formulated mixture where the brownies are pretty thin and it's only 80 calories, and I don't eat them every day, but when I have a sweet tooth, I'll go and I'll eat that instead of the real thing, should I say, or half a cookie. And again, I log it. So I look at these. The cookie last night was fairly large. I looked at what the calorie count was before I ate it, and then I ate half the cookie. Another thing that you can try is when your temptations are just craving something sweet and you're at an event, or whether you had a gathering at your house, just take just a forkful of the pie or the cheesecake or the cake, just a forkful, and eat it just to satisfy. Again, if you're as old as I am, you know what all these foods taste like. You understand that. And you want to operate under the space where you're not totally denying yourself everything, but just you're eating in moderation. And some foods, when you're a diabetic, just have to sort of leave the platform. You just can't eat them the way you used to. Yes, I've eaten a cupcake. I had a red velvet cupcake a couple of weeks ago that was absolutely delicious. Yes, I've had a piece of chocolate cake, but again, I have to accommodate that because I know it's like 300 calories, 350 calories, so that means other foods are going to have to not be eaten because I have partaken in that. So again, if I look at this five-part plan that I'm working on and working out, and it's definitely working for me, it's the use of CalorieCount.com that is so very helpful in what I'm doing. Number two is thinking of food differently. We'll probably prepare a show going forward where I'll walk you through the grocery store and having fun at the grocery store. There's so many like gourmet grocery stores now, or sections of grocery stores that have these healthy foods. We'll talk about that in the future. How you can prepare to eat out, that's also important. The second thing was thinking food and thinking about food and thinking about it differently. And then number three is preparing to eat out so that you don't really blow your calorie numbers. Number four is to use new recipes and make fun of it, have fun doing it in terms of the sweet potato mentioned earlier, and then just sort of dealing and confronting sweets, if that was an issue, which it was for me, and how to cut out some issues, sweets and other foods that you just need to not eat at all, or substituting items that can help you with that sweet taste that you have in your mouth. This is an ongoing process for me. We'll talk about this certainly periodically. I encourage you to do your own investigative work so that you can live a long time and live life to the fullest. There are lots of young people who pass on. I don't want to be in that number. I want to bug my grandchildren, and hopefully you will too. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I hope that you've enjoyed this show and that you'll share the comments and conversation with others who definitely need to live healthy and live a full, rich life. Have a great week or weekend. We'll see you in 2 weeks.